Today, the United States Supreme Court has partially accepted Donald Trump's travel ban for six Muslim-majority nations, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, Sudan, and Yemen. The Supreme Court has agreed to review President Trump's proposed travel ban this October and partially unblocked the administration from enforcing it in the meantime. But are the new changes as big a victory as the US president is touting? There are several caveats on what the United States Supreme Court has accepted of US President Donald Trump's travel ban, the 90-day total ban on migration and 120-day halt on refugee resettlement from six Muslim-majority countries is not quite what Trump had initially boasted, according to adjunct professor of constitutional law Augusto Zimmerman.
The original idea was that there would be a total suspension of these travels from these different countries. The suspension has not been entirely accepted by the Supreme Court on an interim basis. What the Supreme Court has decided is that there must be a compelling reason as to why people coming from these different six countries should be entering the United States. For instance, if they have families in the United States, or if they have enrolled in an American university, then this would be considered a reasonable request to visit and enter the United States.
Zimmerman believes it's possible that the people most affected by the proposed travel ban are not people who are a threat to national security, but instead refugees fleeing persecution.
I think what the President of the United States is doing is to listen to the concerns of a segment of the society who seems to be quite concerned about the idea of national security. I think that what happens in this case is that some innocent people who are really refugees and suffering these possible persecution in their countries will be affected as a result.
There had been doubts whether or not a travel ban would have an impact on the refugee deal brokered between Australia and the US over refugees on Manus and Nauru. However, Zimmerman doesn't think the law will operate retrospectively.
One of the elements of the rule of law is that law should be not applied retrospectively. So if a decision is made and these people are already under the protection or have received such protection, they should not be affected by this ban or by the existing laws that have recently been introduced.
Aside from the policy specifics, there's also the political argument that Trump has been trying to win. One key question that has been raised is whether or not the ban discriminates against Muslims. Dr. Anna Boucher is a senior lecturer in government and international relations at the University of Sydney and believes there's no question over the following.
I think that's clear. That's clearly the case. I mean, when Trump discussed the ban prior to the election, he called it a bit Muslim ban. And in some of the lower court hearings, the court actually invoked election campaign material to argue that the ban was discriminatory on religious grounds for that reason. I don't think that's controversial. And I think that will be one of the key constitutional issues arising in the October hearing before the Supreme Court.
According to Boucher, Trump's proposed travel ban is a step backwards for the US, as race selection migration was initially abolished in the 1960s under Lyndon B. Johnson's government.
Focusing in on key countries was a very old step, but it's new for contemporary migration policy. It takes us back to a period of race-based selection. And the United States was one of the first democracies to get rid of race-based selection in the 60s under Johnson. So I think it's making a big statement that race-based selection is okay again.
As for the political argument, Boucher doesn't think the nuances of the travel ban debate will be looked at and that Trump will enjoy a political victory amongst his voter base.
I don't think the average American understands constitutional law. So I don't think they're going to read this and go, oh, what a majority of the Supreme Court did is said that the ban only applies to those who do not have a familial or educational or economic connection to the United States. They're going to say, oh, the ban was upheld and the partial will be kind of ignored. And if you look at the president's tweets, even since the case, that's precisely what he suggested. So the nuance will be lost and the take-home message will be ban upheld.
Amidst the policy and political debates are the individuals. Siamak Garman is the president of the Australian Iranian Community Organisation and says this policy directly targets people like himself. But this is not a new experience for him or people like him.
Well, obviously, it's not a pleasant feeling, but I've been living with that for last 30 years, and I just try to not to give it so much of a value and get on with my life. And that's, I think, what other Iranians and also other people from those other six countries you should do. At the same time, we have to fight against this sort of laws.
The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to review President Trump's travel ban this October, but the delay means the case may be moot by the time the court considers it. That report from myself, Miles Holbrook-Walk.